Well, our hidden treasure today has been named as a finalist in the 2012 Justice Awards presented by the Law and Justice Foundation of New South Wales. Jan Karp, who until recently was a lecturer at the University of New England, was nominated for the Law and Justice Volunteer Award in recognition of more than 20 years of work as a volunteer advocate for people who find themselves in trouble with the law. Jan says she does this work because she knows what it's like to come from a disadvantaged background. Jennifer Ingall sat down with Jan last week to hear her story. Firstly, Jan talks about her upbringing and her yearn to find an education.
I had a father of Greek heritage, and he used to say to me, he basically had that tunnel vision about I was going to do university, and there was no choice about it. He was very heavy-handed, literally actually heavy-handed, and so university had to be where I ended up. But I failed my HSC. I think I got about 255 out of 500, and that's a failure. And I was very, very fortunate that University of New England had received extra funding. I think it was the Whitlam government. There seems to be an era of graduates around the Whitlam era. And they took me as a student, and so I did end up with my Bachelor of Social Science.
Did you willingly do that?
I was desperate to get to university. I didn't want to stay uneducated at all.
So UNE, you arrived in Armidale, and, yep. And how long did you spend in this area?
I had worked as a waitress, three waitressing jobs to keep myself at university, and then arrived and afforded Drummond College for 1 year. And then the bricklaying boyfriend, who then became a husband, and I moved to Ben Lomond. And I lived there until I joined the New South Wales Police in 1983.
Was it tough times living in Ben Lomond, getting in the train down to Armidale Uni?
It was a wonderful, wonderful period of my life. I loved the countryside. I had a horse. It was a passionate and exciting time. And it was completely in poverty. I was in poverty most of the time. So I used to housekeep for the wealthy pastoralist women, and that used to pay for bread and milk. And my husband was a brickie, and I used to do the brickie's labouring work often.
What led you down the path of into the police force?
Literally, I couldn't get work. The public service, there must have been an economic downturn in the New South Wales political sphere, and I couldn't get work anywhere, and I applied. And the desperation around work was that there was a very severe drought.
Was that a good time in the police force?
I used to wear plain clothes, and so when they were doing operations, surveillance operations or collecting information, they had to have a woman along. And this, you know, I had a degree and was seen as intelligent, and I had done good work on general duties at Penrith Police Station for a couple of years, and so they took me into a squad called Task Force 2, and it was established in response to the Lusher Royal Commission. Or actually, I think it was an inquiry, yeah. And that was into police corruption. So we were actually looking at police who were corrupt, and I was in my, just beginning my third year in the New South Wales Police.
That would have been tough.
No, I found it extremely interesting. The squad was brilliant. They were very, very professional. They taught me a lot of new skills. they taught me how to be a professional police officer, an ethical, honest one. But we were also, of course, I remember once there were death threats to police within that squad because police who were corrupt didn't like the fact the squad existed. That squad ended up years later being partly responsible for the Wood Royal Commission being established. And as a result of all that, I then start a PhD into police corruption and crisis control. Mm. And I called it exactly that and the nature of the game. So I started, even though I had left that squad, trying to understand what I'd seen in an academic setting rather than a practical professional one. And it took 11 years. And I think it was a very neurotic goal, that if I wrote about it, I could recommend and maybe solve the cyclical nature of police corruption continually being present in an organisation I highly valued. But that wasn't to be the case in the end.
Do you think it could ever be solved?
Oh, definitely. I think we can certainly address it better than what we do. Mm. Yeah.
So was it 23 years in the police force?
Yes.
And what made you stick it out for that long?
I had no intention of leaving. I came from what people call a dysfunctional family. My marriage had failed. Policing is a family type of organisation, or was. Certainly the task force group that I was with were a very cohesive group. And why I left in the end was the organisation basically didn't want what I had. And also I was definitely psychologically compromised by then. I was investigated for interfering in a police investigation or something. I can't quite remember what the offence was, but I was supposedly had spoken to a very serious criminal about some operation that was going on, about which I absolutely knew nothing, and I was investigated very, very stringently. Mm. And they went through everything. They went through my personal life. They interviewed everyone I knew. They did it all behind my back. And what was probably the worst moment was when I was back in uniform, sitting answering the phone on the station, and I remember I was sort of rocking backwards and forwards and thinking, you know, 2 months ago I was an inspector running these shifts, and there was no relief, there was no support from it. I found it a horrific experience. You're told you're unfit, you're discharged from the New South Wales Police. So, you know, the thing that I valued most dearly were family, education and policing, and all that was disregarded.
Now, Jan didn't fall apart when she left the police. She threw herself into another research project looking into the lives of truck drivers and the pressures placed on them. That led to a new book, Conversations with Truckies, Looking Through Life Through Glass, which will launch soon in Tamworth. But it is her work with those on the wrong side of the tracks that's really consumed Jan's life for more than 20 years, and she's done it willingly and for free. Once again, here's Jennifer Inger with Jan Karp, taking a look at her work that's seen her named as a finalist in the 2012 Justice Awards.
I'll introduce my childhood just a little bit. I was the sort of child, they used to call us what was called latchkey children. Now, a latchkey child is a person who has shift work parents, and you basically use your own key to get in and out of the house. So I was one of those, but from 5 years, walking myself to school. And there used to be this, I remember this woman, because I found her strange, she probably Polish migrant, and she used to take me into her house and give me a cup of water and show me all these little plants. But it was like she was looking after me a bit before school. And there was also a policeman on a crossing when I was about 7. He used to sit me on my suitcase at the bottom of his feet, literally. He'd be directing traffic and he sort of babysat me before school. And so Gough, with his money that got me to uni, there was a woman here who taught me that was very, very influential, just not personally, just the way she spoke. So I'm one of those people who've been influenced by people who gave to me. And I don't think a lot of them would have even known. And so when you come from that background, I think you're obliged to help others.
And how do you do that? What do you like most about helping other people?
It can be frustrating. I liked it in the beginning in that I was doing easier tasks. So I was letter writing. You know, so the men at the bowling club, usually men, couldn't read and write. So they've gone through their whole life not reading and writing. And so I'd write letters for them, or I'd explain how to get some legal advice. So they were victims of a crime and they'd never been given any money. But from there it became more and more complicated. People would ask me to look at a brief of evidence, and that all becomes much more difficult. And because of my professionalism and my education, when I do voluntary work of that type, it isn't about choosing that person's in the right or the wrong. I never try to do that. People may guess. But what I want to do is explain why the prosecution has put their case and what they've got that makes that case look that way. Because it's not, these people aren't my friends. I'm not trying to keep them out of jail or tell them everything's okay. I'll say, you've been charged with this and these are the elements of that offence and you've done them. That's why that's happened. And they'll say, but I want to defend it like this. Except usually they don't know how to defend it, or, and it's not even on that level. Sometimes it's just on that level, just talking to people like that, and it might be a fairly quick interaction. Other times, recently I found myself in a solicitor's office going through a record of interview, you know, and police would think, oh, my God, she's changed sides or something, you know, and I don't try to choose a side at all, you know. I think relationships of all sorts are difficult, whether they're legal, academic, friendships. And so the best thing that I try to do, and I also try to teach this way, is to see all angles of something that's occurring. And that's not always easy.
You mentioned that it gets hard sometimes. Is that emotionally or is that just the amount of work?
No, emotionally. I'm good at the work. I'm a good rational thinker, and so I should be. I'm 54 years old and I'm experienced, and that's what I'm paid for. I was paid to be a good rational thinker as a police officer and as an academic to think and teach clearly and wisely. No, it's the emotional stuff. I still get angry, and I get sad, I get happy. And, you know, emotions are nice, but when I'm overly angry, I think I shouldn't do it anymore.
And this latest nomination you've received, tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I didn't like being nominated. I was nominated for an award. Here's the paperwork. The Law and Justice Foundation. Yes, I discovered I had been nominated. I went to a really wonderful dinner at Parliament House, and I really enjoyed it. It was beautifully done. Often those sorts of events can be frightening to go into when awkward. This was not. It was a relaxed. But the thing I liked most about it were it was a group of us. You know, we weren't isolated. It was a big room full of people who were doing pro bono work, lawyers who were doing pro bono work, people who were giving of their time.